So good morning and welcome from Jhana Grove. My name is Bhante Bodhidaja, and I come to you with another Corona Daily from the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. So last time we talked about right inclination and the first part of right inclination, which is basically to not get into the danger zone and to let things be. This time, I would like to focus on the second aspect of right inclination. So we are still on the side of declining unwholesome states. So as I said last time, there is two aspects. There is one aspect of getting away from things which are unwholesome, which are going to get us in trouble. And the other part that we can hopefully talk about later is the part of getting exposed and really getting into the wholesome mind states. And that's what we are basically doing with meditation. But there is also this part of letting go there. The simile I haven't shared with you last time is the simile of the bus stop that people said they found quite useful when I was teaching the last retreat or whenever I talk about the right inclinations. So imagine you have a day off and you're still allowed to kind of move around out there, and you come to a bus stop and you sit down at that bus stop, and there is no timetable and all these kind of things, so it's kind of disorganized. Maybe you're in a country where there isn't really timetables. So you are just sitting mindfully, peacefully on that bench at that bus stop. And then you can see the buses coming past. And with those buses, what is really, really handy is that the buses have, right at the top there, they have written where their terminal station is, or they have even written where the stations in between are. So they let you know where the bus is going. So if you're sitting there at that bus stop, you will be able to read those signs and see if it is a place you really want to go, or if it's a place where you don't want to go. And so this reading of the sign, this reading of the letters at the front of that bus, is basically what we are doing with right inclination. But we are not reading it like we are reading letters. We are much more feeling it. We are feeling where is this mind state that has arisen? Where are those thought patterns that are coming up? Where are they are going to carry us? And is it really a place we want to be? Is it really wholesome? Is it uplifting to go to that place? And so in terms of letting be, if we are mindful enough, then we can kind of feel those mind states, feel those emotions coming on. And we might also feel the first kind of little ripples of the effect in our body they might have. And if we feel there is this kind of tensing up and this unpleasantness that comes with them, that would be the point where we disengage and we basically don't jump on that bus. We just let the bus pass by. But sometimes, of course, we don't really manage to do that, or we are not very mindful, or we are not reading the signs, or we are, I don't know, tired or grumpy already, and we happen to jump on that bus. And that's what I would like to focus on today. So last time we didn't get on the bus and we let the bus pass, which is great if we can do that, if we can avoid certain mind states, and if we can guard ourselves from getting into those unwholesome mind states. But now we are already there. And then it's not a matter of letting them be anymore as much, but it's a matter of letting them go. And I would like to give you a few tools and a few ideas how that could be achieved. So today we are talking about overcoming those unwholesome mind states when they do have arisen, when they are in our system already, when we are on that bus, and how we can overcome them and abandon them. So basically what we are trying to do is breaking the vicious cycle. And we are trying to minimize the spread of the infection rate. So I always try to kind of tie it in with the current situation. So last time we were saying the virus is out there. We know in certain areas where it is, so we don't go there. But now we are at a point where we've already gone there, or where the virus has already come to our country. And that's when we are trying to minimize the effect it has. I guess everybody is maybe already a bit tired with hearing all these corona things. But one of the things that was mentioned quite early on, and that is still out there, is this idea of flattening the curve. And I thought it's something which is very, very similar to those mind states. So if those mind states come in and they go rampage in our minds, then they basically overwhelm the system. So it's like that wave goes right up and we can't really manage it. We can't deal with it in a wholesome, in a skillful way. So we're trying to do the same thing. We are trying to flatten that curve of the unwholesome mind states so that we are able to get through them and to eventually abandon them altogether, to eventually let them go. And that is kind of the elimination stage they're talking about with this virus. Or in Australia, they're talking about the road out. And I'll be talking about that a little bit, how we can kind of escape from those things. Right. How is that achieved? If you think about those mind states like a fire. So you do have certain things that are already there, which is kind of like the fuel. And then you have a trigger, usually, or you have a situation that comes in that kind of brings it on. And that is like a little spark that gets that fire going. And then we are in this mind state, maybe even caught in that mind state. And of course, if we can extinguish it with water, if we can extinguish it with wisdom, that is brilliant. But very often when we're caught in one of those mind states, it can be very, very difficult. So another kind of way to deal with it is to not feed that fire. And there is one sutta that I have been using to kind of explain these things and go through the process of these things, and that is the Magandhya Sutta, which is in Majjhima Nikaya 75, if you want to look that up. And it first of all talks about the origin and the ending. So we understand how are these mind states, how do they originate? What was the trigger? What makes them grow? So, for example, you're sitting in meditation and it is peaceful and quiet and silent, and that is all wonderful, but a thought comes along. I don't know, it might be a thought, you know, I'm getting hungry, I haven't eaten for a while. And then we sometimes jump on that and we start to feed it. We start to think about what food came in yesterday, or that we couldn't get the food we wanted to, that the person in front of us, they took the last whatever it was, or the train of thought continues. And if we continue feeding that one little thought that came up, then we are going to get into trouble. But if we realize that we can just let that bus come, even if we have jumped on that bus, silently stay on that bus, and at the next opportunity, when it stops somewhere, get off the bus and try to get back on safe grounds again, instead of staying there. So sometimes it just needs a little bit of urge tolerance, which means stepping back, getting a bit of perspective, and just staying out of that momentum that is being built from those defilements that might come up in the mind. And then we don't just understand the origin, the origination, how it is created and how it is fed, but we also understand the other part of it. We understand the ending. We understand how it can slowly, slowly, but surely subside in our minds. And if we have that urge tolerance to just step back and just let it be, as I said last time, for maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes, we will realize that it is like a wave that comes in, maybe washes over us a little bit, but then ebbs away again. So instead of getting carried away in that unwholesome mind state, in those fears and anxieties that might be around at this time, we manage to let it go, to get out of it. And another way to think of it, that's the next three steps that come in that sutta, is to think about the gratification. So I call it like what is sweet in a certain situation, what pulls us in, what attracts us, what makes us go to a certain point, and then to realize the danger, to see the drawbacks, to again see where it is actually leading us and if we really want to get to that point. And the last part and the most important part after we've done all these steps is the escape. And the escape is always the replacing. So we are letting go, that is correct, but very importantly, we don't just let go, because if we just let go, very often there is a certain resistance or again unwholesome mind states which are connected with that. We might call it letting go, but it's more kind of like a pushing away. And the easiest way to let go is if you take a wholesome mind state instead and bring that into your mind, bring that into your being, and replace the unwholesome mind state with a wholesome mind state. And that is basically our escape. To ask ourselves, as I said last time, what is my moral compass? What is the right thing to do? Are there any teachings? Are there any inspirations out in the world that I can bring into this difficult moment and see, can I deal with it in a more wholesome way? And also just reflecting on virtue in general. And if we know virtue quite well, like a language we know very, very well, we will be able to respond to that situation with those virtuous responses instead of the unwholesome, unvirtuous responses that we might be used to. Just to mention one more thing, you might have a few things that come up in your mind where you're feeling it's kind of obvious that it is unpleasant. What are you talking about? Why is there gratification in, I don't know, anger, for example? Or why is there gratification in sadness. It kind of feels unpleasant, doesn't it? But when you think about it, there is always a certain pleasantness that comes with it. Even with anger, it kind of makes you feel in control when you can, you know, you feel powerful, for example. Or even with sadness, sometimes we can really kind of indulge in sadness, and there is a certain kind of niceness that comes with it. When we talk about addictions, for example, also a lot of people say, you know, there comes a point where people realize that the substance or the way they're addictively reacting to a certain thing is not pleasant anymore. But it still happens. I think the gratification there might be much, much more subtle. It might have happened in the past and it doesn't happen anymore, but there is a certain habit which has established itself. And it is, say, more easy, it's more pleasant to just give in to a habit, even though we might be aware that it is unpleasant and that it is leading us to the wrong kind of outcome, in the wrong direction. So if you wish to reflect on this origin, ending, gratification, danger, and escape. And if you want to have a little bit more information on it, I've given a talk at the Buddhist Society of Victoria a little while ago. And I think it was called Buddhist Mind State Management. And there I talk about this in more detail. Right. Maybe just on a personal note, because I mentioned my mom last time, I was very happy to see that lots of people have been so kind to send her metta in her difficult situation. Last time we didn't know how the test went, so she had a corona test and it came out negative, which is beautiful, which is nice. So we are happy about that, but unfortunately the virus is still spreading in the nursing home where she's at, so they don't really have it under control there. But just, she was very happy when I told her that I've dedicated the last talk to her and that lots of people out in the world have also been sending her good thoughts and good wishes, and that gave her a bit more strength and calm in that difficult situation. And I hope that's the same thing we can do here. Sometimes life really brings up tough stuff, difficult stuff that we don't really know how to deal with. But it often, at the moment at least, has to do with the body. Coronavirus is a sickness that affects the body. And if we are skillful about it, if we learn to deal with our minds in a nice way, and as I've described, we can do that through right inclination, then we can make that situation a little bit more easy. We can make sure we don't add the mental suffering to a situation where we might have, or we actually very clearly are experiencing, bodily suffering and sickness, which is part of life. Okay, let's meditate together now. I don't know how long I was talking, quite a while today. I hope it wasn't too much information. Okay, so let's move to meditation mode. And stretch your body and find a comfortable position to have your body in. Gently close your eyes. If you feel comfortable doing so, because that will help us to come back into the present moment. Maybe take a few deep breaths at the beginning of the meditation. to kind of get your body and mind to understand now is the time to relax and to meditate. And see if you can let your attention, which is usually out there in the world, just fall back onto yourself. Fall backwards into this present moment. And maybe you just want to ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? What sensations am I aware of? Usually the first object in meditation is our body. Because it's a bit more obvious what's happening there. And let's see if we can be kind, open, and receptive. We can basically listen to our body with our minds, which means feeling what is there. For example, feeling our buttocks on the chair or the mat or the cushion. When we're sitting cross-legged, feeling our legs, or on a chair, feeling the soles of the feet touching the ground. Feeling where our hands are. Not thinking about it, but actually feeling it in the present moment. This might be a little bit more subtle, but can we feel the touch of our clothing on our bodies in different parts of our bodies? Or can we feel the movement of the breath? The expanding and the letting go. Can we feel and know the temperature in the room or outside when we are sitting outside? Can we feel the air on our skin? Can we feel the air as it's going in and coming out? Gently flowing in and flowing out. And if we are kind and gentle with our bodies, we will notice that they kind of become light. It's not like this burden that we are carrying around with us. They become light, sometimes tingly, and they have this glow and this gentle, pleasant warmth to it. It might be just in certain parts of your body. For myself, it's very often where the heart lives in the chest. Or in the palms of the hands, in the palms of the feet. It's actually the soles of the feet, isn't it? Or maybe the gentle touch of your lips. See if you can spread those feelings, those pleasant, relaxed feelings in certain parts of your body. If you can spread them around so that they also reach the parts in your body that might not be as relaxed and as tingly and as pleasant as they are. But let them overflow and radiate in all directions. These are the buses we really want to jump on. The wholesome buses, which take us to peace, to stillness, to calm. If other buses come past, read their sign, get a feeling of where they are going to take you. And if it's not a place you want to be, just let them stop at the bus stop. You're sitting there, contented, peacefully on the bench. And then once the conductor, the driver sees there is no people who want to get on that bus anymore, because we've stepped back, then the doors of that bus will close and it will take off without us. So when we can, make sure that we don't feed any of those thoughts or feelings that might come up that are not useful at this time, not skillful, then we can let them go. And return to this pleasantness, this relaxation, this ease in our bodies. Or if the bodies have already faded, in our minds. Just hanging out, relaxing, chilling, and feeling the joy that arises from this wholesome way of relating to things. By now, hopefully, we were able to settle down and find a home in the present moment. And we might already be aware of our breathing. Or if not, we can just very gently, without any force, invite the breath. To hang out with us. If we are tired, let's see if we can have a bit of interest into this process of the breath coming in and going out. We are restless. Let's see if this breath of ours can calm us down. Slow down the racing thoughts. We might be resisting or having aches and pains. Let's see if we can just smile a little bit. And watch the situation with kindness. Watch the breath with kindly eyes. Don't be afraid of the silence of the joy of the lack of control, but rather enjoy the freedom And as we're getting close to the end of this short meditation, reflect, how does it feel now? How has my body, how has my mind state changed? And what did I do? Or what didn't I do? And if you wish to share these feelings, or just the effort of coming and sitting down and letting go with someone specific, or just with the whole world, or with whomever might be suffering out there in this world. The end of the meditation is a good time to do that. To share your merits. To share the goodness. To spread the love. And then you can slowly bring your attention back to the body. Maybe move it a little bit to get in touch with it again. And gently letting your eyes open. Seeing if the way you see the world now has changed. Seeing if it's more like the world coming into you to meet you, instead of you going out into the world trying to change things, do things, get things. Thank you very much for joining us for another short talk and meditation. I hope these reflections and practices are useful for you out there. Please take care, be safe, and have a good day or a good night whenever you're listening to this. Goodbye.